right, good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, depending on when you listen to this program. This is the last Back to the Basics Bible study, fall Bible study, fall men's Bible study. We did 8 studies on Friday night, 6:30. We had great attendance. I want to thank all the men who happened to listen to this podcast who did attend, and those who do listen to it. Thank you for listening to this podcast and listening through this series. I'm not sure yet what I'm going to do for the spring session. I might do more practical as opposed to doctrinal. But anyway, I wanted to talk about lordship salvation. What is lordship salvation? There's a lot of controversy based on a book by John MacArthur titled The Gospel According to Jesus, What is Authentic Faith? And there's a lot of misrepresentation, a lot of false memes and false teachings or understanding concerning MacArthur and this lordship salvation. And so I wanted to try to address some things, at least in this. It's certainly not a comprehensive study by any stretch, but the intent is to alleviate some of the misunderstanding. I can honestly say that when I first heard about this, it never made any sense to me. If you call on Jesus as your Lord, you accept his lordship in your life, and yet there seems to be some opposition to the fact that Jesus is Lord over your life. It's okay if he's your Savior dying on the cross, but it's not okay to take up your cross daily and follow him. So I find that pretty interesting. But anyway, I want to read this quote to you from John Stott, and he said this, and I quote, "When Jesus is truly our Lord, he directs our lives, and we gladly obey him. Indeed, we bring every part of our lives under his lordship, our home and family, our sexuality and marriage, our job or unemployment, our money and possessions, our ambitions and recreations," end quote. In other words, what John Stott is saying is that our whole lives are submitted to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I had a nickel for every time somebody dogged on John MacArthur for his lordship teaching, quote unquote, I could have bought a nice set of commentaries by this time. The arguments never made sense, considering what the scripture actually says. Seems to me that the people raising these arguments are trying to avoid something. And here is John MacArthur's take on the term lordship. And I think this is important. And again, this is from the Gospel According to Jesus, What is Authentic Faith? And John MacArthur said this, and I quote, "I do not like the term lordship salvation. It was coined by those underscore who want to eliminate the idea of submission to Christ from the call to saving faith, and it implies that Jesus' lordship is a false addition to the gospel. As we shall see, however, lordship salvation is simply biblical and historical evangelical theology," end quote. I don't have a problem with that. I don't understand why anybody would have a problem with that statement. But here we are, 2025, and people are fighting against the historic doctrines of the church, the historic doctrines of the church. I'm going to do a study at some point in the future on some of those doctrines that have been pushed to the side or outright neglected, changed, fought against. Those doctrines were key, instrumental doctrines in the two great awakenings under Azahel Nettleton, under George Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards and others. Certainly not Finney by any stretch of the imagination. He was not sound in his doctrine. But that's a lesson for another time. But before we get into John MacArthur's treatment of the subject, let's look at what the alternative is in many cases, and that is something called free grace. So the free grace crowd, they regard obedience and repentance as unnecessary. Free grace theology is a Christian soteriological view that holds that the only condition of salvation is faith, excluding good works and perseverance, holding to eternal security. Now, that's a quote from Wiki, and I know some people, oh, wait a minute, now you shouldn't get anything from Wiki. I did check a number of other sources as well, and they lined up with what Wiki said. So the idea of free grace then leads to easy believism. You believe without repentance or fruits of regeneration. That is not a position that I hold to. In fact, I have never held to this position. I've always believed that if you're going to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as your Lord and Savior, that you will follow him, that you'll take up your cross daily and follow him, that you'll obey his commandments, that his word will be in you. So this is just a basic study of the Bible. The Reformed perspective, which is what most attribute this teaching to, I find that interesting as well. A position I have held as far back as I can remember is that salvation indeed is based on God's sovereign grace. Again, that's all supported from the scriptures. The free grace crowd will accuse the Reformed camp of works-type salvation. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. When the gospel of Christ is genuinely received, the response will be repentance and faith, which in turn is a visible fruit of regeneration. The Reformed brethren have always stood on this, namely that the Spirit who regenerates the unbeliever gives him a new heart and fruit to follow. Let me read that again. The Reformed brethren have always stood on this, namely that the Holy Spirit who regenerates the unbeliever gives him a new heart and fruit to follow. Self-examination or self-inquiry would be pointless if free grace were the accepted norm. I've met folks over the years who have no visible testimony but said they just believe the gospel. Now listen, according to their logic, we don't have the right to inspect the fruit. I wonder if some of these guys would allow some of these folks into their churches based on their profession alone. I mean, after all, right? While good works are not the means to salvation, which is Christ alone, but if one does not have them at all, has one really trusted in Jesus alone? Now, I want you to think about something that I said here. If somebody says, I'm saved, but lives a godless, reprobate life, the free grace crowd says, well, they made a profession of faith, they're saved. Would you allow that person to become a member of your church? Would you follow your logic and allow that person to hold position in your church, a deacon or an elder or Sunday school, teach your children? If they come in living a perverse lifestyle, keep in mind, they trusted Jesus, they made a profession of faith, so according to the free grace crowd, they're in. No obedience, no repentance, right? So you continue to live the way you want to live, as long as you've uttered some magic words, you're okay. Nobody really believes that. And so that's why that's such nonsense as far as I'm concerned. James Montgomery Boyce said this, and I quote, "There is no such thing as trusting Christ as Savior without at the same time submitting to Him as Lord. We submit and we grow and we learn as we are discipled and led of the Holy Spirit. We understand that work does not save someone from judgment. This isn't about the process of being saved. It's about having already been saved and wondering what comes after. What did Paul say when he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord put him on his face? Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, what will thou have me to do? He submitted to the Lordship of Christ in that very moment. Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Here again, we see more scripture testifying to the importance of following and being obedient and submitting to the Lordship of Christ. There are those who criticize the biblical teaching and say it's a works for salvation type of teaching rather than a fruit-generating teaching. As John MacArthur points out, those who call it heresy say essentially that two things, not one, are happening. Again, not one, two things are happening. Trusting Christ as Savior and then committing to Christ as Lord of their life. You can't separate the two. Romans 10:9, you're confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you're not just talking about His authority over the world, you're committing and submitting to His Lordship over you. Over you. So here's the issue. You don't make Christ Lord. I think that's a big part of the confusion. You don't make Christ Lord. He is Lord whether you agree or not. You're submitting to His Lordship. You're not making Him Lord. You're submitting to it. Acts 16:31 says, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." No promise of salvation is ever extended to those who refuse to accede to Christ's Lordship. Thus, there is no salvation except Lordship salvation. John MacArthur, again, The Gospel According to Jesus, page 44. Now, let's close this out with some things to consider that distinguish Lordship from easy believism. Number one, repentance. And this is one of those doctrines that has fallen by the wayside and is neglected. Free grace crowd can't deal with the word repentance because that's a turning away from sin. And to turn away from sin means you have to acknowledge some bad fruit in your life. But that's the point of holiness, living a holy life and repenting and turning from sin. So repentance is the acknowledgement of and turning away from known sin. The Word of God teaches that faith and repentance go together. You can't separate them. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Then we see Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is that change of mind where sin, which was once embraced, is no longer. Repentance is that change of mind which goes from rejecting Christ to receiving Him as Savior. Repentance is also a gift from God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Repentance means a person goes from open rebellion against Christ to submitting to His lordship over their life. Repentance leads to a changed behavior. You can see Acts 26:18 through 20. Next, regeneration. Huge doctrine, big deal. This is a big, big, big deal. Man is depraved, man is lost, man is dead in trespasses and sins. The Spirit comes in and renews that heart. Regeneration. You're made a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So a new creation, and you cannot just stop believing once you're saved, once you're born again. You can't deconstruct once you are truly born again. There's no losing it. It baffles me. The folks that teach you can lose it. You want to talk about bondage. You are born again not of your own works or your own will, but you're born again from the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word and through the Son. Salvation is all God's work from start to finish, which is why we teach that new believers are no longer the same. Lordship then means we will desire to follow the Lord and be like Him. The next thing, the third thing, lordship acknowledges the supremacy of Christ. Rather than objects of the world, Christ Himself is the sole object of faith. A visible, submissive, obedient faith involves our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him, who? Jesus, which died for them and rose again. The Lord Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The lordship of Christ means a changed heart, which equals a changed life. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So these things make for a pretty good reminder. Let's talk about some things that would have been changed when you become a new creature in Christ or you are regenerated. Number one, the life overall is transformed by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The Christian has a new nature, Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, you ready? We should not serve sin. Romans 6:6, read it, study it, memorize it, hide it in your heart. Then the third thing, those who are submitted to the lordship of Christ follow Jesus. I mentioned John 10:27 a few moments ago. The next thing, those who are submitted to the lordship of Christ love the brethren, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Next, the lordship means doing what the Lord asks. John 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Next, lordship isn't just about following Jesus, it's continuing in His word. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And then lastly, acknowledging Christ leads to our walking in those works that He's ordained for us. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Lordship also includes divine power. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We have been given the means to follow the Lord. The divine nature dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We now have everything that pertains to life and godliness. Salvation isn't just about going to heaven. It's about how we live on our way there. So that's lordship in a nutshell. Obviously, it could be a more comprehensive study, but that wasn't the design of these studies. But if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is understood when you utter those words that you are accepting the lordship of Christ. He has lordship over you. He purchased you. He shed his blood for you. He has a right to ask of you anything that he wants. And we should willingly and gladly and lovingly submit to that. All right, take care and have a great rest of your day. Bye now.